Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Whether you want to
buy
in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall. It is gone. Cassis does it.
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It's episode 168. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts. Rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Subscribe everywhere. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. We've got the Play Testy playlist there, so you can subscribe to WEI, hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, and as always, find us on the social accounts at Play Testy on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat, who's got some, I don't know, some pattern in the background today. Pat, what is that? What's the background? What is that?
Maybe a curtain.
Oh, it's a curtain. Oh, wow. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Seems like it. I don't know. Depending on who you are, might feel quiet in the Red Sox world to you. But we've got a lot of little things that came in that could be big things. I don't know. Nolan Arenado, Tristan Casas trade rumors that, as always, I despise. Alex Bregman still on the market. The Bob Nightingale's Vladdy comment. Pete Alonso now maybe in the mix, and tons of bullpen updates. Like, we got a lot to get through today, even if there hasn't like been a move or anything in forever. But what are you laughing at, Sammy?
No, that was like a scene from I Think You Should Leave. Like, what's that behind you? It's a curtain.
Doesn't it look like it's like, I don't know, it looks like I'm being hypnotized.
Yeah, these are actually Dan Flash curtains.
Flash's
$1,000 complex pattern.
No, it was just funny. Gordy was like, and Pat's got this pattern behind him, and Pat was like, yeah, it's a curtain.
All right, so
that was funny.
Pat, where are you sitting where you have just like a curtain behind you? Why do you have a curtain behind you?
I am in my den.
Oh, he's in the den.
I'm in the den.
He's the man of the house. He's got the den.
Yep.
There are books in the den?
Yeah. No, right now it's a TV, a sectional, a recliner, and these Dan Flash's curtains.
All right.
Gordo, did you become like a father within the last like 2 days? All these like dad jokes. Oh, wow, you're in the den. The man of the house, eh? You got there, bud?
Like, no, I'm still in my 20s. I promise. I'm still in my 20s.
Yeah, same.
So would you guys trade for Nolan Arenado? Would you?
Yeah, I'd give up Casas and one of the prospects, but not one of the top two.
So if you haven't seen the updates, obviously, as we recorded with Chris Cotillo on our last episode, if you haven't listened to that one, you definitely should. Really good episode, and obviously appreciate Chris for coming on. God, it's like a tongue twister. But basically, he and Sean McAdam reported that Nolan Arenado very much down to come to the Red Sox, and that's obviously very important to get a deal done because he can turn down a deal anywhere he wants to. Red Sox might even be his number one destination at this point. And then some Cardinals writers added on to that. Red Sox are a strong candidate to land him, seen as the last hope for the Cardinals to trade him this winter. There is still a possibility that he stays in St. Louis, which I don't think would be good for anybody. But at this point, with his favorite suitors dropping out, he's not going to go just anywhere. And then the Cardinals people seem to think that the deal is contingent on the Red Sox finding a deal for Tristan Casas. This has been drawing a ton of misunderstandings on Twitter. So just to clarify this, this doesn't mean the deal is contingent on the Red Sox including Tristan Casas in the deal. It means the deal is contingent on the Red Sox finding a separate deal for value for Tristan Casas. And they've been searching for pitching, using him in deals. I don't know how recent those rumors are, but like obviously we know they offered him to Seattle for either Brian Wu or Bryce Miller. We think that they've talked about him with Pittsburgh for a couple of their young guys, Jared Jones and Bubba Chandler. But yeah, it's not that Casas would be included in the deal. It's that they would need to trade Casas to free up the spot because the plan seemingly would be to put Arenado at third, Devers moves over to first, and Casas gets traded. And I think we could just jump into the why that is, because Sammy, I'm like we argued on this show about whether we would DFA Yoshida. Yeah. And you were definitely in the camp of yes, you can DFA Yoshida.
If as a last resort. Yeah. I'm basically where I'm at with DFAing Yoshida is I wouldn't say no if it were the last option. If there were players out there that would help the Red Sox win more than Yoshida would, if the only way to get them was to DFA Yoshida, then I would do it. The thing I don't want people to think, I'm not saying DFA Yoshida right now, January 7th, as we're recording, DFA him right now. That's not where I'm at. I'm just saying the Red Sox should be open to it. And let's say Yoshida's money, or not Yoshida's money, Yoshida is keeping the Red Sox from getting Alex Bregman. That makes no sense, but just for the example. If that's the situation, Yoshida's keeping you from getting a guy like that, that puts you
I think the more realistic one is that he's keeping him from getting Arenado, because Bregman could play second. Arenado can't.
Sure. Okay. But just a player you want. Let's say someone's super into Arenado. Someone's like, oh, he's going to make the Red Sox great, but we can't get him because Yoshida's there. Like, that's the point where I would say you just got to cut bait. You're a big market team. Eat the money. Just do it. But that's not the same as saying get rid of the guy right now. He sucks. He's useless. I don't think that at all. I want him, and I've said this a million times, I want him to be the starting everyday DH against lefties and righties, or I want him off the team. I don't want him as a part-time guy. I don't think he does enough. As Cotillo said on our last episode, he has half a tool, and that's that he can hit right-handed pitching. And that's great, but it's not enough to take up a whole bench spot. So that's why I'm just open to the idea of DFAing Yoshida. And again, that's not me saying do it. Just don't wipe it off the table if that's the only option left.
Pat, if you were given the option to pick, the Red Sox trade Tristan Casas and get okay value, because I don't want to say good value because we know the value of first baseman right now is down. The value of Tristan Casas coming off an injury-riddled season is down. So if you had to pick, would you pick trade Casas for like modest value, whether that be getting a solid player back or whether it be getting a team to eat Yoshida and getting a reasonable player who's making money? Like I'm using the Castillo deal as the blueprint for that. I don't know. I'm giving you scenarios that aren't real, but whatever. Trade Casas and then trade for Arenado, or just DFA Yoshida, cut bait, and then trade for Arenado, or don't trade for Arenado at all. What are you picking?
So I don't think Yoshida is a factor in the Arenado equation, aside from the money. And DFAing him wouldn't do anything money wise, correct?
Yeah, I mean they'd have to pay him this year, next year, and the year after.
It's as if he's on your roster money wise, yeah, but he's not playing.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't see the point of DFAing Yoshida to accommodate Arenado if it's not a money reason. If it's a 26-man roster or, you know, like a roster fit, I think right now I would DFA a couple of other guys over Yoshida. But, I mean, in a vacuum, no. I'm not moving Tristan Casas to get Arenado. I just wouldn't trade.
Here's the thing, and to piggyback off of what Sammy was saying, I agree with a point that I think you made in there, is that Yoshida is not a guy that you can have coming off the bench. I disagree with you that I would be okay platooning him. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with platooning, but I'm not okay with, because if you get Arenado and Tristan Casas is still on the team, then it's basically like who is going to start at the three spots, first base, third base, and DH. If you have Arenado, Casas, and Devers on your team, those are the three. Yoshida's coming off the bench full time. I'm not doing that. So I agree with what the premise here is that you got to get rid of one of them, which I'm assuming is what they know. You got to get rid of one of them. But even as the DFAing Yoshida guy, I think that's crazy because I think there's a chance he ups his value this year and you can just trade him next offseason. Maybe not offload the full salary, but get a team to eat a reasonable amount of it and not have to pay $18.5 million each of the next 2 years. That said, and I tweeted this, I would eat that money and I'd give him $20 million more just for the hell of it. I would do that over trading Tristan Casas. I think trading Tristan Casas would be batshit crazy. People forget how good this guy is when he's actually acclimated to pitching and healthy and on the field, which I understand is a concern. But this is a guy who in the second half of 2023 in the American League, number one OPS in baseball in the second half, Shohei Ohtani. Number two OPS in baseball in the second half, Tristan Casas. Top six in the American League for the entire year as a rookie in OPS when he was healthy. So you cannot just trade this guy just to open a spot for the best deal you can get just to get Nolan Arenado, who I really like and I think people are way too down on. So it's not a knock on Arenado. It's just that I just do not think that trading Tristan Casas, especially at this stage, is even close to what should be on their minds right now.
I agree. I want one step back real quick. I want to ask you guys, if we're talking about Yoshida in a platoon scenario or like a bench, whatever, not a full-time player. And Gordo, this one's mostly for you. The way I see the bench right now is Romy, David Hamilton, Ref Snyder, backup catcher.
Yep.
Who leaves that equation? Is it just Ref Snyder's in when Yoshida's not? Or like, you getting rid of Hamilton and he's no longer the lefty option off the bench? Like,
well, Yoshida, in my scenario where I if Yoshida's on the team, I think he should start at DH. And if Ref Snyder's on the team, if Yoshida's on the team, you're going to have at this stage two platoons. One in Yoshida, one in Abreu. Not my favorite thing in the world. I really don't like having multiple platoons, but unless you can find a trade partner for Masataka Yoshida, which I don't think is possible. I think if that were possible, you'd have seen it by now. Or
so
unless
you'd rather
trade William
Abreu. You'd rather double platoons rather than DFAing Yoshida if it came down to that? I don't think it'll come down to that. But if it did, double platoons or you keep Yoshida. Double platoons or DFA Yoshida.
I do the double platoons because if you DFA Yoshida, what's the starting spot for DH? It's not like DFAing him allows them to spend more money. They don't free up any money. Yeah, they free up a roster spot. It really probably comes down to if they DFA him, which, by the way, I think is a possibility midseason once the rookies are a little bit more established. You want to find them every day at bats. But right now, you don't really know. If you DFA him, you're kind of thrusting them right into the thick of it, which I don't think you need to do. So I just don't know why you would do it.
So to answer your question, if you did DFA him, the DH would be whoever from that group or Abreu, whoever fits the best. Excuse me, not Abreu. It would be whoever of those four fits the best on that day, depending on who they're facing. So it's like that's so Alex Cora right there.
Yeah, but against every single righty, righties start what, 70% of the games. None of those guys are better against righties than Yoshida. So you're getting
sure,
worse
but
than
you
70%
are not. You're not at all dying for help against right-handed pitching. If you're the Red Sox, that is the last thing they need. They have plenty of that. That's what I'm saying. Like Devers, I mean, Casas, Duran. Just those three alone. Devers, Casas, Duran. You're already a nightmare.
Why would you willingly make yourself worse?
Anthony, Meyer, like all those guys.
Yeah, agreed. But wait till you know. Like those guys will get their chances, and if they perform, and that, like, let's say Abreu gets hurt, and then Anthony comes up and he crushes it, and then Abreu comes back, and now Yoshida's struggling. That's when you DFA him. It's when you need the roster. Yes. But right now, like, I'm totally fine with the kids starting in AAA. And the Red Sox go in to get that extra service time because it's not even just like service time manipulation. Like these guys have not played much in AAA. Like it would not be crazy to start them in AAA and give them a month.
Campbell's played 19 games in AAA. People are acting like he's going to hit third between Devers and Casas. Like pump the brake. I think he'll be great, but relax.
Yeah. So in a vacuum here, just Casas part aside, because it's so frustrating to me that the Tristan Casas part of the equation fogs the Nolan Arenado possibility. Because you had Trevor Story out in Story Camp. He's running the camp again in Texas. Think like Casas, Ref Snyder, Grissom, Anthony. I might be forgetting one. Maybe Story is the one I'm forgetting. I don't know. They're all there. And Story talked to Nesson about the Arenado possibility. He's like, yeah, he's a star. This guy like wants to win. He would love Nolan Arenado here. I would love Nolan Arenado here. Do you like people online crap all over Arenado because they look at his last season and they see an OPS just north of 700. And I don't want to say they forget who he was, because obviously everyone knows who he was. But I think people forget that he's going to be 33 and being put in a better ballpark. 34?
He's 33 now.
He's 33 yeah. now. When's he 34? Do we know?
Middle of the season. Actually, I think early in the season. Let me double check. Arenado, his birthday is... It doesn't say. Give me 1 second. Birthday is...
I want to say it's right before the season, or like right at the beginning.
What?
If I'm right on that, call me.
It just has his age. Maybe he's hiding his birthday. He's embarrassed.
April 6th,
right at the beginning of the season, he'll be 34.
Nailed it. So yeah, he's going to be 34. It's not like he's 37. Like, this is a guy who put in the right ballpark in the right situation, and obviously the reports are that he's been working on his swing and feels really good about it. I think he could have a big bounce back. I'm not gonna sit here and say he's gonna have another like 930 whatever OPS season, but he can still be a good player. And when you can get that guy for basically zero prospect capital, because it just seems like the Cardinals want to dump the money or as much as they can, if the fit worked, I would like him. Do you guys feel differently?
Yeah, I do, because if there weren't so many dominoes that had to fall before he were a Red Sox, I think people would be super open to it. Like, you hear veteran leader, right-handed bat. He's not elite anymore, obviously. Like, he's a bad hitter. He's still a serviceable hitter, great defender, leader, like one of the best defenders ever seen in our lives in the infield. Him and, I would say, Andrelton Simmons are 1A, 1B. But it's the stuff that has to happen. And it's just maybe moving Yoshida for whatever. And then for me, this just boils down to, if Raffy were open to DH, he'd be already.
But he wouldn't be, though, because you can't just bench like this. It takes us back to square one, which is like, what do you do with Yoshida? He can't just be a bench player.
At that point, if Raffy is going to DH, DFA Yoshida.
Yeah, see, that's my point right there. Yes. It's like, if you have a good scenario and it's like, oh, this would be perfect, but we can't. We have Yoshida. Send him to the moon. That's what I'm talking about. If that happens, that's when I DFA him. Not right now, but if it happened. And here's what's annoying, and it's none of our faults. There's not that many moving parts with the Nolan Arenado thing, or at least there doesn't have to be. They could trade for Arenado, put him at third, put Devers at DH. Done. But they don't want to do that because they want to move Yoshida's money. And then they're like, oh, well, to move Yoshida's money, we'd have to like attach him to Casas and blah, 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 blah. If they just paid the bills, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we can't even talk like that because they haven't done that in years. So here we are talking about this impossible equation, trying to fit 33-year-old Nolan Arenado into the Red Sox lineup, because they don't just go out and sign Alex Bregman, who's better than Arenado right now and about 3 years young, 2-3 years younger. It's just so frustrating. All these equations we're doing in our head, we shouldn't have to be doing. And I feel like a broken record saying this, because they just won't spend money like they should. It all comes back to that.
Here's the thing. I don't see it as them being cheap per se. I really do see it as Masataka Yoshida can help them, and it would be bad asset management to kick that asset to the curb and have 0% chance at getting any salary relief if he bounces back. Because if you cut bait now and he bounces back, he gets claimed by like Tampa and bounces back, it doesn't matter. You're eating that money. But if he bounces back for you, like, guess what? You could save $10 million for each of the next 2 years if it goes right and you can find that trade partner. So
yeah, I think he'd be great. I think he will.
And not to mention, he's also one of the only players who can hit for contact on this team. If Nolan Arenado comes aboard, that would be two. But if you lose Yoshida in the process, guess what? You're back to one. Same with Bregman.
No, I think if Yoshida was given everyday reps for the Red Sox as DH and he stayed healthy, I think he'd be really good. It's just I don't think he's good enough to be a platoon guy. Like I thought that worked really well with the 2018 Red Sox because you had a loaded lineup, and then in the three hole, you had two guys who platooned at first base, Steve Pierce, who crushed lefties, Mitch Moreland, who crushed righties, and surrounding them was boatloads of talent. That was fine. They don't have that kind of talent anymore. I can't see two platoons. It's just like one is fine.
I don't like two platoons either. I don't.
I would just, yeah. And I also don't really subscribe to the logic of like, I don't want to cut bait with this guy because what if he does well elsewhere? That's great. I'd be happy for him. Fantastic. Congrats on Tampa. I only care about how the Red Sox are doing. Like when we get to October, if the Red Sox get there, I'll worry about the other teams. But my brain is like, how do the Red Sox get better? That's it.
It would just be frustrating if, because I agree with you, I don't care if someone does well elsewhere, if you're thriving. But like if they DFA Yoshida just to add all of Nolan Arenado's money, and then Yoshida's got like an 840 OPS for someone else, and Arenado's got a 720, and I get he's playing defense, but like that would be tough. It feel like you just kind of like pretzeled yourself into a worse situation that way. But I'm curious because like I feel like everyone gets upset about attaching guys to dump a player, like with the Casas rumor. Everyone and rightfully so said it would be pitiful and kind of blasphemous in a way to attach Tristan Casas to offload Yoshida. But if you told me that that's how they used their starting pitching depth, or if you told me that they used Abreu to do it and they got a good piece back too, I'm more open to it. I think my biggest gripe with it is just that I'm not going to trade the guy who I think is going to be. I was going to say the word generational. That word's
he's your cleanup hitter. He's your cleanup hitter right now.
Yeah. And rightfully so. It's not even just like he's cleanup by default. Like this is a guy who could hit 40 homers. This is a guy who for over 100 games over the span of when he heated up in 23 to when he went down in 24 had like a 940 something OPS. Like the guy's really good. He should not just be used to open up a spot. He shouldn't just be dumped. And that can bring us to the next point, because the only time I would actually be okay with it is if it leads us to my homeboy.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but the issue is that's in a year. So like I'd be like seething for a year. Like
talk about Johan.
Yeah, for Johan, our new first baseman, Johan Ramirez.
No, you're talking Vlad. Yeah, I you know, I said this morning on Twitter. I felt kind of like a Debbie Downer. Everyone was really excited about the Bob Nightingale article saying if Vlad, this is, you know, not verbatim, just, you know, generally it said, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. does not get extended by Toronto, he'll probably end up on the Red Sox. And he changed the wording a little bit to make it quote? A little.
You want the quote?
Go ahead. Updated one. I wrote the same one.
No, I'm giving you the first one and then I'll give you the updated one.
Okay. Do both. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause the first one was so good. I screw Bob for doing that. Come on, leave it up there. He said they're $100 million apart, Guerrero and the Blue Jays. And then he said, if Guerrero doesn't receive an extension by spring training, he'll test free agency and likely will be wearing a Red Sox uniform in 2026. If Guerrero doesn't return to the Blue Jays, he would love to be with the Red Sox, friends say, which may be why the Red Sox are hesitant in their pursuit of Bregman. And Sammy's referencing he changed it. He removed the sentence and likely will be wearing a Red Sox uniform in 2026.
Yeah. I mean, this... stuff like this means zero to me. Everyone was getting all excited.
Oh, that come on, Sammy.
Zip to me.
No.
Dude, it's a reporter
that
saying,
means
okay.
Everything to me.
No, come on. How that do we not everything. Learn by now? How do we not learn from this stuff?
Sammy,
look, okay.
This here, is two here, different things.
Here's
this
where
is
I'm
not
at.
Sam Kennedy speaking. This is
no,
this
is Bob this Nightingale guessing it's, where he thinks a free
agent.
We
Nightingale
all think
in an article. Come article on. Bob is different than Twitter Bob.
Okay. All right. Here's why. What was I even going to say? Oh, okay.
You're saying don't read into it.
No. Yeah, obviously don't. I'm the king of don't read into it. But the thing that bothered me today was, yes, I would be thrilled if the Red Sox got Vlad Guerrero Jr. When I saw that article, I was kind of like, oh, cool. That's good. So it's not just us thinking that. Bob Nightingale thinks it too. That's basically the extent of it for me. The thing that bothered me was the people going, oh, that's why they're not going hard after Alex Bregman.
Agreed.
Fuck that. Absolutely, get the fuck out of here with that shit. a real big market team, the Dodgers, if the Dodgers were in the same situation, they would sign Bregman and then they'd sign Guerrero the next year. They wouldn't go, well, we have only a specific amount to spend. It makes me sick. The old Red Sox never would have done that. So don't, please, if you're listening, do not give the Red Sox a get out of jail free card, because they might get Vlad next year. They might get Juan Soto this year. Oh, they didn't. Same thing could happen with Vlad. You gotta, can't just keep kicking the can down the road. It makes me go insane. If they just signed Alex Bregman this year, they would make the playoffs and probably want to be one of the top three teams in the American League. Makes my head want to explode. God, someone else go, please.
I will, gladly. I, for one, was very excited about that little tidbit. However, it means nothing. You want to know why?
Oh, you guys are killing me. It means everything.
Gordo, this is why you get hurt, Gordo.
Want to know why?
Tell me, Pat. Let's hear it.
Because Alex Bregman wants to be here. Teoscar Hernandez wanted to be here. Things get too expensive for FSG. That is why I cannot get overly excited. That little nugget, encouraging, I am not excited. It is too early for that. Stuff has to play out. But all of Vladdy wanting to be here doesn't mean shit, because if the price goes up, he will not be a Red Sox.
Let me ask you guys one question. Tell me, what do these four things have in common?
Four things. Going with this?
All right. Juan Soto in the year 2024. Garrett Crochet in the year 2024, Rafael Devers in the year 2022, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the year 2025. Do you want to know what they all have in common?
They're all going to get paid a lot of money.
They're all under 30.
They're all multiple years under 30. And then take Vlad out of the equation. The other three, what do those three have in common? The Red Sox were willing to pay big for them. I was about to say big money, but we don't know about Crochet.
No, Gordo. Pay
big prospect capital for him.
Let me make it clear.
But how many did they get, Gordo? Surely they got all of them.
They got two of them, and they offered $700 million to the one they didn't.
Hey, one for four, baby. One for four. That's a good game for Yoshida. If I had to guess...
Hold on.
We're being a little nitpicky here. You left out Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Okay, you're right. I left out Yamamoto. That's another one they were supposedly... I don't know. I feel weird about that one because it's so wishy-washy. Did Sean McAdams say they offered him $300 million? If he said that, yeah. I'd buy it. He did say that. Okay, so they add another one into it. Yamamoto. They're willing to pay the young guys. Vladdy's
Let me clear something up.
He's not 30, Sammy.
If no, you'll like this. You'll like this, Gordo.
Who's 30 on this podcast?
Not me. Okay, me. Assuming Pete Alonso goes back to the Mets, I actually think the Red Sox have the best chance to sign Vlad Guerrero. I don't know if they have a better chance than the field, but individual team-wise, I'll take the Red Sox because they just offered $700 million to Juan Soto. It didn't work out. He went to the Mets. I know. Not enough. Doesn't mean anything. I agree, but it indicates that they're willing to spend. So there's no other team that I can think of that badly needs a first baseman other than maybe the Yankees, and they're not going to give out another friggin' $500 million contract.
Blue Jays, too. Blue Jays.
Well, yeah, of course. The Blue Jays would be the only other one, but if he leaves the Blue Jays, then like...
Yeah, then it's you.
Who's going to sign him? So that's why Bob Nightingale's thing means nothing to me. I haven't budged on where I think Vlad's going to land. I think if Pete Alonso goes back to the Mets and Vlad does not get an extension from the Blue Jays, I think he'll end up on the Red Sox. So, you know, when Bob Nightingale says that, I'm just kind of like, all right, cool. I'm not crazy. That's it. It just confirms I'm not insane, which I might be because Bob might be too, but it just shows that there's people on the same page. I don't read anything other than that from it.
Listen, all I'm going to tell you is just connect the dots. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying connect the dots here. You've got a guy who says, if I'm not extended by spring training, I'm going to free agency. You've got a guy who reportedly would like to play for the Red Sox. You've got a guy who crushes at Fenway Park and there was great video of him signing the pesky pole and the green monster. Like, this dude has enjoyed his time at Fenway Park. He's Dominican, and we know how Dominicans in his age group feel about the Red Sox. So obviously it checks out. What?
That's
what?
We know how Dominicans in his age group feel. It was just funny. Wait. Can I?
What's funny about that?
You're right. No, you're right. It's just funny hearing it out loud.
It was.
Yeah, they liked the Manny and Poppy were a thing. We all liked them growing up.
No, you're right. You're totally right. It's just funny. It's a funny sentence. Can I ask you guys a question?
Let me finish the thought.
Okay.
And now you've got the Red Sox, a team that had a $700 million offer on the table. And has yet to spend the money this offseason. So we know they have the money and they're willing to spend it. And the people they've been willing to spend it on are young players. And after Vlad, the next guy that's going to be a young free agent already plays for the team and they should have extended by this time next year in Garrett Crochet. Go.
Okay, I'm with you. I agree with all of that. And like I said, the reason Bob Nightingale's article did nothing to me is because I think Vlad will end up with the Red Sox if those two things that I mentioned, Pete Alonso back to the Mets and Blue Jays not extending him. If those two things happen, then my pick is the Red Sox. Here's my question for you guys. When a player says they'd love to play in Boston, what does that mean to you?
It means that they'd love to play in Boston.
Okay, but expand on that. Why is that a good thing? It just, because to me, I'll give you my opinion. To me, all it means is that they would accept the money if the money was right, which is like, no shit, dude.
Hey, we've seen players in recent years not accept the money from the Red Sox when the money was right in favor of other destinations.
Like who? Like Zach guys Eflin. Who want to play at home?
Hey, like that's a Eflin? Big deal, man. Yeah.
Eflin, Chris Martin.
Yeah, Chris Martin.
These are just guys who want to play at home, and it's like these aren't $300 million deals. It's a little different. I don't know. It just doesn't mean much to me. Of course, a lot of guys want to play at Fenway on the Red Sox. It's great, but like you still got to pay them.
I don't know. When I hear like X would love to play on the Red Sox, to me, that is different than X would play for the Red Sox. Like if it said would play for the Red Sox, that to me is okay if the money's there, whatever. Love does not mean discount by any means, but it's like the idea of Fenway, the Red Sox, the Dominican history, the history within the last 20 years, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like I would want to be a part of that.
Forgot the biggest part of the equation. This guy fucking hates the Yankees. Yeah. He had the Griffey quote. He was like, I will never play for that team. I love going there and beating them. And like, he walked it back a little bit, probably because he was told, hey, like they can fucking help you. They can give you some money and get some, if you really don't want to go there, get someone else up there, whatever. Dude hates the Yankees. You know what that means? It means if you hate the Yankees, it means you love the Sox. That's how it works. So, yeah, I want Vladdy on the Red Sox. I'm glad that we've all come around on this, because I think there was a time where not everyone agreed with me on this podcast.
I hope you guys, Sammy and Pat, are ready, because Gordo's going to do this for the next calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this Vlad says he likes clam chowder.
Dude, if Vlad says he likes clam chowder, I will do it.
Vlad was playing a game at Fenway.
Just Vlad wore red on opening day.
Dude, what does that microphone in front of Juan Soto mean? It's red. Oh my god! I'm so glad that's over.
I hated that. So, what did you guys make of the whole? Not to change the subject, but what did you make of the whole Pete Alonso thing in that article? Bob basically said, like, there's the Red Sox. His wording was basically like, there are eight teams in on Alonso, including the Red Sox and Blue Jays. I didn't make that much of it, just because I think that the Red Sox would probably only be open to Pete Alonso on one of those short-term re-enter the market after a year type deals. But if he's taking one of those deals, it's going to be with the Mets, because that's what I think they're probably offering him right now. So I don't think there's really any chance he comes to Boston. That's how I took it. But did you guys take it differently?
Yeah, I mean, eight teams is a lot, and you know there's going to be a mystery team on top, so let's just call it nine. Yeah, it doesn't really mean much to me. It just shows that Red Sox are doing their due diligence with all these free agents. Alonso's a good player. I don't love the fit, you know, obviously with Costas in the mix, an eye towards Vlad Jr. That's kind of guy I'd be like, I would pass and take the risk the following year. He's good, but he's not like, we cannot miss out on this guy. Like, I think Alex Bregman at age 31 is significantly more valuable than Pete Alonso. And that's, you know, I mean, Alonso, 34 home runs, 123 OPS plus. That's great. But he also struck out 172 times. So he has his
He wasn't as bad strikeout wise as people think.
He's not terrible. It's
wildly, like, I thought he would. Earlier this offseason, I went to take a look. I was expecting like the ice cold, like second percentile blue. What is it like on the Savant page? I'll find it. I'm pretty sure he's like in the 30th percentile. I don't know. Pat, what did you think of the report? I'll find that. I'll come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, eight teams is an insane amount to be in on somebody this late. To me, that's just everyone who's made some form of like proper phone call to Scott Boras about Pete Alonso. I highly doubt there are eight teams actively in the bidding on Pete Alonso. I'm like Sammy. I just don't see, bearing a bunch of moves, I do not see the Alonso fit right now. You know, earlier in the offseason, maybe if they did move Casas for Castillo, first base is open, like there, I could see the connection there. But at this point in time, no, I don't think they're even remotely in on Alonso.
You know what Alonso is? Alonso's like a fancier version of Mike Napoli, like roughly the same strikeout percentage. I just checked. Alonso's 23, Napoli's 25% or 27%. So,
which by the way, more this past year, 30th percentile is the number, 30th.
Yeah. So a lot of strikeouts, not a crazy, crazy, absurd amount of strikeouts. It's not like, who is that guy? Chris Carter. Remember that guy? He batted for the Astros and the A's, and he hit like 35 home runs, but that's it. He's not like that. He's just not, you know, no defensive value at all, no speed. It's basically home run or bust. And, you know, good clubhouse guy too. That matters. We talk about that a lot on this show. He's just not a guy I'm like, you got to get him. He's kind of like a good complimentary piece.
Yeah. Hey,
another thing to mention on the Alonso front. I don't know. I think it was in that same article. Not entirely positive. I think Scott Boras is smoking crack cocaine. He is using Prince Fielder's 9-year, $214 million deal as the kind of blueprint to Pete Alonso.
No shot.
It's over 5 years.
Did you know that Prince Fielder and his dad, Cecil Fielder, like don't talk? They're like estranged. Right?
Did you know that they have the same exact number of career home runs?
Yes.
I did know that one, yeah.
I didn't know that. Maybe they've reconciled. Prince and Cecil Fielder.
Cecil.
Oh, God. But, yeah, I'm not... If it's a multi-year deal for a first baseman and his name is not Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'm just not for it. Just not doing it. Just no. And Andy Martino put out in his article today that the Alonso thing might only... He kind of like connected it to the Casas thing. And it's like, oh, it'd only happen if they traded Casas. But he said that the Casas deal is less likely than reports kind of make it out to seem, which I liked because once again, don't want them to trade Tristan Casas. I would let him bounce back and be a foundational piece. And if you want Vlad and neither of them will DH, then you trade him when his value is higher. But before we get to listener DM of the week, because we got a bunch of DMs and Pat's going to pick one to be our listener DM of the week. Bullpen. We had a big bullpen update from Chris Cotillo. You could kind of tell on the show when he just started rattling those reliever names off like it was nothing, like he was working on something. You got that too, Pat?
Named like 12 guys off the top of his head, all the way down to Colin Poch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when he brought up Poche, I was like, yeah, whoa. Right. Yeah, but basically, the ones that he wrote about a bunch of them. The ones that he specifically said the Red Sox have been in some form of contact with were Tanner Scott, Jeff Hoffman, Carlos Estevez, Andrew Kittredge, Tommy Canley, and AJ Minter. And to me, I kind of separate those six names. You kind of divide a line in the middle. Scott, Hoffman, and Estevez are in their one tier. And then Kittredge, Canley, and Minter are in their own tier as well. But to me, I don't think they have to shop at the highest end of this if they don't want to. Obviously, if they can get the right deal, go for it. But like, if they add even like Tommy Canley, and I like Tommy Canley, ERA under 3 for 3 straight years. I like Andrew Kittredge. He's been really good for years. Minter's solid, but coming off injury, and they have a couple of lefties, and he's not one of those guys where like if it's Tanner Scott, that's a lefty that like dominates everyone. AJ Minter, like he's a good pitcher, but you're probably picking spots for him. And when you already have a couple other lefties, the fit may not be quite as good. But I'm basically in the boat where if they get one of those guys, high end or low end there, like I don't really care that much. If you get one of those guys, you're going to have a really good bullpen.
What if you, if the Red Sox sign, let's say it's Tanner Scott, let's say they get the guy, the best reliever on the market, and he's your closer. And Gordo, I know you didn't love the fit, but if I'm Cora, Tanner Scott, you're the closer, lefty, righty, I don't care, you're the closer, period. Let's say they do that. They have this super bullpen. The rotation's really good. Does the right-handed bat they add, does that become less of a concern for you guys simply because the pitching would be so deadly?
I say no, but I'm also an offense guy. Like, I think having that lineup that strikes fear is so important, and I just don't think it's there right now. I don't think it's even close. But it does become less of a concern if you're – like, I guess in a nutshell, it does, because if you have, like, so let's say they get Nolan Arenado, so your defense is better, and then you get Tanner Scott. Obviously, they've already improved their rotation. Now, let's say you get Tanner Scott. Now, their bullpen's already probably going to be better than it was, because it can't really get much worse than it was in the second half last year. But, yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, yes. But to me, no, like, you got to get that middle of the order right-handed bat. Have to.
Yeah, I think it doesn't kill you as much, just because you're going to let up less runs. So, you know, in a nutshell, you're going to have to score less runs. That being said, I think the right-handed bat is such a glaring issue that you still have to make like something above a Randall Grichuk add. Maybe not a Bregman, maybe not an Arenado, but some form of add there where you're like, okay, this is at least a competent and full lineup. It doesn't set the bars high on the right-handed bat, but you still absolutely have to add one.
And not for nothing here, I know Jim Bowden in his article listed the Sox as his favorite for both Bregman and Tanner Scott. And I don't, first of all, I don't agree with him on either of those. But second of all, I can, like, a lot of people took that report and thought to themselves, oh my God, if they do that, like this was offseason was a rousing success. I don't think they should be viewed as the favorite for either of those guys, but certainly if they get one, I don't think they're getting the other. Am I wrong on that? I definitely don't think they're getting both of those guys.
No, I think
question
they add,
for you guys.
Go ahead.
You go, Sammy. Go.
No, I was just gonna say I think they add one guy, and I agree with you. I don't think it's gonna be Tanner Scott. I don't think it's gonna be Estevez because he doesn't strike guys out. Hoffman I could see, but it sounds like he might want to be a starting pitcher. So I don't know. My guy's still Kirby Yates, and he didn't get mentioned. Yeah. I like the idea of like a 1-year deal for a salty veteran coming off a great season, closing experience, Hawaiian, which is cool. Shane Victorino was Hawaiian.
I didn't know Kirby Yates was Hawaiian. That's a new one. Yep.
My mind is between Kirby Yates and David Robertson. And the reason I say that is because we knew they were the higher bidders on Chris Martin on a 1-year deal. Hard to imagine if they were going to add a reliever and they were targeting Chris Martin. The logical pivot there is Yates, Robertson, those older guys who are reliable and going to take one, maybe one with an option.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And also David Robertson from Rhode Island, his wife is from Brookline. So,
yep.
And as you know, as these guys, I don't know what his family situation is. I don't know if he has kids or not, but if he does, oftentimes these guys like to be closer to home when their kids are getting a little bit older. So something to think about, because this is a guy, what he's 40. Do I have that right?
39.
Yeah. 39. Yeah.
So
the way I would approach this, and I don't know if that's the way they're doing it. I don't know if that's the way you guys would do it, but the way I would do it is you've got six names I just listed as the Red Sox being connected to. You got the two names that Pat just listed. So that, I mean, you've got basically 8 to 10 legitimately really good relief pitchers on the market right now, and they're not all going to get at or above their market value. There's going to be guys that kind of have to eat it a little bit. And that's how I would do it. I would wait, let a couple of these guys, like, I know the Mets are pretty in on Tanner Scott. Like, I'd let them give that big money deal to Tanner Scott. I'd let a couple of these other ones go off the board And like, if Andrew Kittredge is just sitting around there and he's going to have to take a pretty inexpensive 1 year deal, like, that's what I would do. That's how I'd go about it.
Yeah, I would sign the best guy. But no, if I'm the Red Sox and I'm working on a self-imposed budget, that's probably the smart way to go about it. I would aim a little higher than Kittredge. Is he I know he had a little bit of injury issues, and he's older too.
I think it was better. Was it 2 years ago? He definitely missed some time, but he was good last year.
He was good last year. 70 innings. Okay. I guess that's fine. Yeah, I would like to aim a little higher, but if they got Kittredge, I'm not going to be complaining.
Yeah. Question for you guys. Would you pay, because McAdam reported on the Tanner Scott asking price, 4 years, $80 million. Would you give it to him? And then this is understanding that, like, what you think the Red Sox are going to spend. So if you, like, as we just said, if they're spending that on Yates, like, the right-handed bat is going to be compromised.
It's
Scott, but it's Tanner Scott.
No, I think you can get, you're not going to get as good of production from the second tier of guys, but you're going to get good enough production where you're like, I'm comfortable going to this guy in a big spot. I would love to have Tanner Scott, but like $20 million a year, that's so much for a guy who really hasn't pitched in that many big games in his career. Was this the first time he's ever pitched? Let me get his postseason numbers, and it's going to be a small sample, but still.
The Marlins did make it a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he did.
Padres did it.
Yeah, he pitched.
He pitched for the Padres.
One inning for the Marlins, but that's what I was talking about. This year for the pot, he's got 5.1 innings.
He crushed Ohtani in the postseason this year.
Yeah, he dominated Ohtani. You better get that guy. No, I would love if the Red Sox got Tanner Scott. It's just not. He's not the guy I'm going to be like, how could you not have paid? Like, if they don't get Bregman, I'm going to be disappointed. That guy just makes your team so much better, and the next best option is not even close. Whereas with Tanner Scott, it's like, okay, he would be awesome, but I'm happy with that second tier with this spot.
Pat, I want to get your answer to this one. First, though, because earlier in the offseason, I'd been saying that Tanner Scott was kind of the – because I'm not – usually big on giving long-term deals to relievers, and I had said Tanner Scott would be my exception, but that to me changed. That was my belief because they needed a left-hand reliever. They needed swing and miss from the left side, and now they have that. It certainly would not hurt at all to do what, as Sammy said, insert him as the closer, and he faces everybody, so the lefty-righty thing doesn't matter. But I'm now not as desperate for that left-handed swing and miss because I have it. So my answer on that now changed, and I wouldn't give the $80 million to him. Especially if Jeff Hoffman's out there just asking for the Clay Holmes deal, $35-40 million. Like, I'd do that first. But Pat, would you give him $80 million? Would you give Scott $80 million? Clear cut best reliever on the market?
No, I wouldn't. And my reason is I would rather dip into the second tier of relievers than I would the second tier of right handers. The reliever market is exponentially deeper than the hitter market. And there, we've already said a bunch of them. We said Robertson, we said Yates, Estevez, Hoffman. There are guys we didn't even say. Kyle Finnegan is out there. Like, there's so many of that, like, second tier that kind of fit in that Slayton, Chapman kind of mold in there. That's completely serviceable. Liam Hendricks sucks as the closer. Cool. Garrett Whitlock. Whitlock stinks. Slayton. Slayton stinks. Chapman. Chapman stinks. Minter, like any of those guys. You don't have the luxury of going cheap on the right-handed bat right now. You don't. So, no, I would not give him that contract.
All right. So, we're all in agreement there, which is interesting because, I mean, we'd all be excited to see him on the Red Sox. Don't get me wrong. But just understanding the restrictions. And I know the financial restrictions aren't what they were last year. Certainly, like, you can tell by the way they're acting that it's not that low. But this isn't a team that's about to go New York Mets, Los Angeles Dodgers, New York Yankees, blow past the tax, spend on everything. Like, we've seen it, man. Like, they if they were going to do that, they would have Alex Bregman on the team right now.
Tanner Scott would have to change his jersey number too if he came to the Red Sox. 66.
Who?
Come on.
Brian Baio.
Brian Baio.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. All right, Pat, before we go to Enough Said, give us we got a listener DM of the week. You pick one. What do you got?
We do. The one I actually picked, we just kind of answered. It was about giving Tanner Scott $20 million a year. So that works out well. So I will pivot to plan B. This is from Mike Toomey. Who says no? Willy Abreu, Masataka Yoshida, and you send over $10 million cash with them for Randy Arozarena and Mitch Garver.
Oh, Mitch Garver?
Oh, we would need. I would need to think about where the money goes. This is a lot of money.
I will go first. The Sox do not do that deal. No way. And I like the framework of it, like attaching Gordo. I think you said it earlier, like attaching Abreu to Yoshida to get out from under Yoshida. But if the return is Randy, who's on a rental, maybe 2 years of control,
he's two,
kind of declining the last couple of years. And also huge negative in a contract in Garver, and you're sending them money, I don't think they do it. The framework of Yoshida and Abreu to get out from under Yoshida, I like it. I agree with it. Stomachable. To do that for Randy Arozarena in the dumpster fire that is Mitch Garver, no.
I wish I knew the money.
Here, I got Mitch Garver. He's got $12.5 million in 2025. For a guy who has bad knees, can't really catch much anymore, and is coming just off the year? Worst season. 1 year. Just wait, there's a mutual. There's a mutual option. So
okay,
one
so
year.
Yeah,
1 year. He also didn't hit his own weight this year.
Yeah, he was bad.
And he had a whole like you guys know, Mariners are like my second team. He had a whole thing with the fan base where he had to be like, "Look, guys, I'm seeing your negative comments. I understand. I'm not playing well. I'm not in a good place mentally. Like, I've been trying my best. Like, I don't want to be playing like shit. But you have my word. I'm trying." Like, it was very sad to see. I feel like that guy in Boston, bro, if you're getting eaten alive by Mariners fans, you know what Red Sox fans will do to you? Oh my God. So I don't hate, like, Mitch Garver ruins that for me. But like Pat said, the framework isn't terrible. And I would like Randy in that DH left field spot. He has a noodle for an arm, so he can't be in right field. Which is shocking. You would think like a crazy guy like Randy would have a bazooka and he like can't aim it. But no, he's got a noodle arm. So I don't mind him in that Tyler O'Neill role, left field / DH. But the money part, I would rather just eat the entire Yoshida contract. And I think Seattle would rather that as like, or not rather that, but they'd be cool with that as well. So maybe just remove Garver from the deal entirely.
I think if the Red Sox made a deal like this, Garver would just DFA him. Because you can DFA a guy 1 year, like, who cares? And he wouldn't fit the roster with having Ref Snyder coming off the bench. And if you bring in Arozarena.
It's much different DFAing Garver than Yoshida. I'll give you that.
Wait, did I say Garver? I was thinking Haniger.
No. Honestly, it doesn't even matter. I feel the same way about both. Like, I would feel the same about...
It's the same.
I would feel the same about both. That was a good a lucky mistake, because you could really have the same conversation we just had if you swapped Mitch's.
Just had the conversation. And like no one had any idea. I was thinking of the wrong guy, because it's literally the exact same situation and the same first name.
No, I would like Haniger 2% more, maybe. That's it. But neither. I'm not really excited about either. I do like the Randy idea. That's one we brought up on the show a while back. Randy as your Tyler O'Neill replacement 2020 guy. He had a really bad start to 2024 and then heated up big time, salvaged a good season. So I don't hate it.
Here's what I'll say about it now that I've had a little bit of time to think and digest it, because it actually is a really interesting idea that he brought up, and like a fascinating one, to be honest with you. And I'm trying to think of a reason specifically why either team would say no. Like, generally when Yoshida trades come up, my first instinct is to say the team receiving Yoshida is going to say no because of the money. But if you're taking on a bad contract in Garver and you're sending over $10 million with Yoshida, you're almost there money-wise. I think you'd probably have to eat a little bit more. I think the Red Sox...
5 mil plus. You're sending over 10, so there's 8.6 left. So it's about $21 million. If you DFA Garver, that's $21 million of dead money that you would have.
Yes. It's not ideal, but at least you are in this scenario, you're balancing the lineup with a righty, which would be good. That said, you're losing 5 years of control of Willier and elite defense for 2 years of control with Arozarena. I don't know how his defense is, but it's certainly not Willier's.
It's not good.
But it's interesting. But I don't know if the Mariners do it, because I think they would probably think they're getting worse offensively losing a Rosarena, and that's a team that just needs to figure out bats. They need to add bats. They don't need to subtract bats to add bats. They need to add bats and then add more bats.
Dude, they would have the best defensive outfield in the world if they had Abreu in right, Julio in center, and Robles in left. Oh my God. And the best pitching staff in baseball, or best rotation at least. Woo. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean they might like
idea.
It.
Yeah. It's,
I don't hate
I
it.
I feel like it's more of a puzzle. Like, it's more of a mental puzzle than a realistic trade, but it's an interesting one. I like
if you could swap out Garver for someone and just eat the entire Yoshida deal, I feel like that makes more sense.
Hey, if you're eating the Yoshida deal at that point, then he has to have some value if he's on a minimum. But
you get a better return, said, too. Maybe you get a pitcher from the Mariners. They're all so good.
Pat?
This has nothing to do with the Red Sox. This is a thought that came up in my brain today that I want to throw out there. I thought of this domino today. Luis Castillo to the Orioles for Ryan Mountcastle and whatever. They are a late entrant to the Arenado sweepstakes and get Arenado. That is
Arenado should not accept a trade there. I saw that. I saw Morosi say that. And I literally thought to myself, why would Arenado take a trade there and go? I know they have got good pitching and like have a chance to win. Would stink there.
I thought you meant the Orioles. I was like, why not? It's not a bad spot, but you meant the Mariners.
Arenado to the Mariners, yes.
Oh, Arenado would hit 198 with 9 home runs.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to enough said. We're running really low on time. Anyone have anything real quick before we get out of here? Pat?
Rest in peace, Brian Matus.
Yeah. Rest in peace, yeah. Brian Matus. That was crazy.
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Mattis.
I thought it was Mattis.
Mattis? I always said Matus. Awkward. Rest in peace, Brian Mattis.
Rest in peace. Yeah, that was sad.
He pitched for the Orioles. Like, the beginning of his career just perfectly coincided with me, like, really following the Reds. Like, I remember, like, 06, 07, 08, whatever. But, like, 08 to 2010, 11 is really when I was, like, I know every – like, I was a diehard, whatever. He – perfectly coincided. I remember watching him, Chris Tillman, Jeremy Guthrie, Melvin Mora, Miguel Tejada. Like, he's just a name that always so often be like, oh, I remember Brian Mattis. But yeah, dude, that's incredibly sad. So rest in peace, Brian.
Wow. Yeah, that was incredibly sad to hear. That made me feel so old that that's when you started following baseball. Oh.
Yeah. I was, I would say about 2007. I remember like vividly. That's the first season I fully remember. I was 8 years old.
Mine's 2002, I would say. Oh. 2002 or three. Yeah. Oh, God.
Diapers, buddy.
Mine's I remember literally the Boone homer in 03, and then I followed more in 04.
You blacked out.
Little kid, yeah. Sammy, you got enough said?
Yeah, I just the feeling of going back to work after Christmas, New Year, Hanukkah break. Oh my God, dude. I want to go to bed so badly right now. It's just like you wake up and it's like someone punched you 1,000 times in the face and you're back to reality. So if you're having the Wednesday, as we drop this episode, the Wednesday blues, I'm right there with you. And thank you for listening.
Hell yeah, Sammy. My enough said, and it's good. We're gonna want to talk, but we're running so low on time that we can't get into a whole discussion about it. But farewell to both Chris Martin and Bobby Dalbec.
All right,
Chris Martin off to the Rangers, pitch closer to home. Sox offered more money. Have to respect him not taking it and going home. Pat, what do you got?
And Trey Wingenter.
Oh, and Trey Wingenter to the big enter. Where's he? Did he go to the NPB or something?
Dude, this is a rough day for me pronunciating people.
The big enter, man. The legend.
Korea?
Oh, Joe's got one.
Well, I got a quick enough set as well. RIP Jerod Mayo, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And just quick PSA out there. Lay off of Mayo. He had a bad job. He was dealt a bad hand, but don't feel happy for a guy losing his job.
I agree. I I wasn't really in favor of firing him. I'm like a casual football fan, to be totally honest, but like, what the fuck did people expect? That roster was a joke all along. But anyway, I'm glad the Patriots are taking it seriously. And here's something that relates to the Red Sox. How about Bob Kraft going right in front of a microphone being like, we have sucked. We have sucked for years. It's my fault. I feel terrible about it. I know he said stuff similar to this, but this was so pointed and so direct. And say what you want about him. Don't you wish John Henry would do something even remotely close to that and just be like, guys, thank you for supporting us. We see you. We know we're not meeting your standards. I'm sorry. I look like Mr. Ratburn from Arthur. Blah, blah, blah.
Listen, I wish John Henry would talk, but at the same time, Kraft did this last year, and then he went and slandered Bill Belichick for months and months. And it was kind of gross, in my opinion. And then he went out and then and didn't spend money and put a team on the field that won four games. Like, I don't know. I can't give him that much credit. Go win games. Spend money and win games. Because if you want to find a guy who spends less than John Henry,
where's the Patriots? Kraft. Like the Blue Jays? Patriots were like the Blue Jays. Like, they were like trying to get guys, but people were like, nah, we're not playing there.
Yeah, some of them. But it's been like that for years too. Even when they were winning, they weren't spending. But we got to wrap here. We've been going a little over. But that's what we do for our loyal listeners who make it this far in the episode. But we appreciate you tuning in to episode 168 of Play Tessie. We'll be back in your ears soon with a bonus pod in a couple of days. But till then, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. You'll get those notifications when episodes drop. Find us on YouTube on the WEI page. You can subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Subscribe to WEI. Subscribe to our podcast on the podcast platforms. And find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy and for Pat, Joe producing, it's Gordo here for PlayTessie, episode 168. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.